It's good to be back in the house of God tonight and to be with you. I appreciate all of you coming out tonight to worship together here tonight and to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I want to share tonight on a subject that I think is desperately needed, something that we all need in our marriages, something that we all need in our families, something we all need as we journey through this life. The Bible says, through wisdom is a house built. Through wisdom is a house built. So I want to talk about having wisdom tonight. And turn with me, if you would, to our text in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3. Look with me, if you would, at verse 16. And I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter all the way through verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 28, very familiar passage of Scripture, very familiar story in Scripture. So let's look at it tonight, and we want to talk about wisdom tonight. 1 Kings chapter 3, look with me, and I'll start at verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that the woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, or no witness there, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it, or she laid on it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two. And give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Father, we come to you tonight humbly, Father, realizing, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. Lord, we also realize tonight, God, with you nothing is impossible. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that we can look into your word. And tonight, as we look into the subject of wisdom, that you have the word of God here to help us to discern and understand how that we might have the wisdom of God in the matters that we face in life, whether it's in marriage, in our family, whether it's singles facing decisions in life. God, we desperately need the wisdom of God. So, Father, I pray that you move in our hearts. I pray that this would be a time of encouragement and help tonight to brothers and sisters in Christ. And, Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that if there are some here tonight who do not know Christ, Lord, that you would gloriously draw them to yourself. And, Father, they would know Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Father, we want to thank you right now in advance for all that you're going to do. If we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Earlier in this same chapter, in verse 5, God says something that is amazing to Solomon. He says, Ask what I shall give thee. Now pause for just a minute. and think about that question and ask yourself how you would answer that question if God came to you and said, "What do you want me to give to you? What can I give you right now in 2017? How would you answer that question? Maybe you would say, "God, I want to live to be 200 years old. Or maybe you would say, as many would say, "God, I would like to be very wealthy. I would like to have a little cottage over here on the Sound, and I would like to have where in my life money would never, ever be a problem again." Perhaps you would be here today and you would say, "Well, God, what I'd really like is I'd like to have healing for my sister, my brother, my son, someone who's stricken with illness, and I would like to see them healed, someone who has cancer. God, I'd like to see them healed. I have a brother right now tonight that's in intensive care, and certainly that would be one of my prayers. I would say, "God, would you heal my brother tonight?" In verse 9, we see that Solomon doesn't ask for riches. He doesn't ask for long life. But he asks for something else. He asks for discernment. He asks for this thing we're talking about tonight. He asks for wisdom. And God grants his request and adds that he will give him riches and he will give him honor. And he will give him even some things he didn't ask for. He would extend his life if he's faithful to obey the commands of God. And then we come down to this section that we read tonight. We come down to our text and we're given this tremendous and somewhat famous practical illustration of Solomon applying the wisdom that God has just given to him. So what can we learn from this story about wisdom in the Word of God? I think one thing we first see is there's a great need for wisdom. Now, look at it with me. We see two women who are prostitutes who are standing before Solomon the king. And each one is presenting a case concerning whose baby it is that has died, whose baby it is that is the living child. Each one of them are saying, "The living baby is mine." They're going back and forth. "No, the baby's mine. No, the baby is mine." Solomon, there is king, is trying to discern between which woman's baby that it is. So discernment of wisdom is needed to determine which mother the living baby actually belongs to. Now, folks, tonight we need wisdom when we come to a fork in the road, when we come to a decision to make, and we can go right or we can go left, and we're really not sure which way to go. Should I get married or should I stay single? Should I marry this person or should I marry this person? Should I go to this college or should I go to this college? Or maybe I shouldn't go to college. Should I take this job or should I not take this job? Should I live in this town or should I move to some other town? This year, we all face many forks in the road. And when we're not sure which road to take, we need wisdom to make sure we can take the right road and make sure that we're making the right choice. And I really believe that we live in a culture today where there's a much greater need for wisdom than there's ever been before. And the culture and the Western civilization that we live in, there's a much greater need for wisdom. You say, "Well, preacher, what do you mean?" Well, it used to be hundreds of years ago when you got married, it wasn't really much of a decision to make. You didn't really decide who you married. Your parents decided who you married. And certainly y'all understand this, but you would have to say and agree that most of the people in our country today do not. It's left up to that child pretty much to decide, "Will I date this person, will I marry this person, or should I marry this person?" When it came to a career, usually the career you pursued was many times determined by the family occupation. If your dad was a blacksmith, you'd probably be a blacksmith. If your dad was a farmer, you might be a farmer. So it wasn't a lot of decision. It didn't require a lot of wisdom necessarily to make a decision concerning that. It was very unusual for children to relocate away from the area which their parents lived. They would normally stay very close to where they lived. They wouldn't move to one state across the country or another state somewhere here. So it wasn't really a choice, a decision to make. Didn't require a lot of wisdom to discern where I'm going to live, because normally it was pretty much decided I'm going to live right here. Even your friends were pretty much determined, because you lived in a much smaller, close-knit group where that you basically had friends within that small group. But it's not so much that way today. I believe we have hundreds of forks in the road that we continually face. And there's never been a group of people, as I see it today and as I do counseling today, who have a greater need of wisdom than we do today. And also today, our problem is not when we just face these forks in the road, which road to take, but it's when we don't have rules to block this one, or say, I shouldn't take this one because of certain rules, or I shouldn't take this one because of certain rules. When there's no rules to determine which road to take, then it makes it very difficult too. Sometimes we have rules, sometimes we don't. Rules may tell me which career to pursue or which career not to pursue. Rules don't necessarily tell me which job to take, as long as one of them is not illegal or unethical. Rules may not tell me what house I should buy. Rules may not tell me what city I should live in. Let me kind of give you an illustration of what I'm talking about here from the book of Proverbs. Remember, the theme of Proverbs is what, church? Is wisdom. Really, the theme of Proverbs is this thing we're talking about here today, tonight, called wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 4, it says that we should not answer a fool according to his folly. The Bible says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. Then the very next verse, it says, to answer a fool according to his folly. You say, well, which is it? Is it right to enter into a debate with a foolish person and try to refute them? Or is it better with a foolish person to walk away and not get into any kind of discussion at all? The answer to that question is, you need what? You need wisdom to determine the answer to that question. There isn't a set rule that necessarily tells you do this or do that. Take this approach or take that approach. There's no rule there. And when there are no rules, we need wisdom to discern what to do. And I've had many occasions where someone comes for counseling and they're very perplexed because they're trying to decide and make a decision where there are no clear-cut rules to govern that decision. They're facing a fork in the road, and it doesn't really appear there's an argument to go right, there's an argument to go left, and there's no clear rules that would eliminate either one of those choices. Now, it would be very nice. It would be very, very nice if every fork in the road that we faced, we could plug the parameters. We could plug all the variables into a formula, and this is the way I think because I'm an engineer too, that I could say, okay, A plus B plus C plus D equals this decision. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm going to plug all these different variables that I'm facing and the decision I'm making. I'm going to plug all these different parameters in, and out spits go this direction, go to the right or go to the left. But we know life is not like that. Where the rules don't tell me what to do, I need something called wisdom to help me determine what I should do. Wisdom is necessary when the rules don't really help us. And all of us, as I said tonight, are going to face these forks in the road where you're faced with going left, you're faced with going right, and they're both arguing with you. They're saying the same things, and there's no way you can figure it out by the rules. And you're going to have to rely on something that in the Bible we're reading about tonight called wisdom. So I ask you tonight, do you have this wisdom? Do you have the wisdom to discern when you face these times in your life to go right or left, and there's no really clear-cut rules to determine which way you should go? Do you have the wisdom to determine which way to go? If not, then you might ask a question, well, how do I get that wisdom? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, because I believe this story really helps us answer that question. Look with me at the last verse that I read in verse 28. It says, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which a king had judged, and they feared the king. And they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." Now, in the Bible, when people face a fork in the road, like these two women, they needed to go somewhere where they could get a decision made, judgment would be made, discernment was needed, wisdom was needed to be made in that decision. They would go to the king because the king was expected to have wisdom. They went to the king to get wisdom. So here's the principle, and I hope you'll write this down. If you write nothing else down tonight, I hope you'll really get this, because I think this is so important for us to see and understand. Whatever, whosoever is a king in your life is your source of wisdom. Whatever or whoever is a king in your life is your source of wisdom. Whatever the king is in your life, whatever you're in awe of, whatever controls your thoughts, whatever controls where you find the meaning in your life, your identity in life, is your source of wisdom. So if you have the true king in your life, then you have true wisdom. If you have a red king in your life, you have red wisdom. If you have a yellow king in your life, you have yellow wisdom. If you have a purple king in your life, you have purple wisdom. You say, "Sam, that sounds kind of silly," but it's so true. Your wisdom emanates from whatever is king in your life. What the Bible teaches is that if anything except Jesus Christ is the true king of your life, the wisdom your life is operating on is actually foolishness. Let me demonstrate what I mean, because if you go back in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, the Hebrew word most used for the word wisdom is a word that actually means to come under authority. One commentator says this. He says, "In the Old Testament, there's no such thing as wisdom without coming under authority of something, serving something, or giving yourself to it religiously." So we must ask ourselves, what is it in our life that we have placed ourselves under its authority and are giving ourselves to it? What king are we serving? What's the most important thing in your life? What is the central focus of your life? Who or what is your king? Let me give an example. If money is your king, your wisdom will be based on money. For example, if you have an option of taking a lower paying job, which is more fulfilling to you in your life, and you base your wisdom on money, and you're faced with a higher paying job and you make more money, but yet you don't get the fulfillment, it's not really what you want to do, because money is king in your life, you'll take the higher paying job. If money is your king, you will be more apt to cheat on your income taxes. Amen. If money is your king, you'll be more likely not to tithe when the offering plates are passed in the church service. Money is your king, you might start gambling, which will probably end up in financial disaster. If parenthood is your king in your life, then you'll try to live out your life through your children. And you'll try to make your children into something maybe you wanted to be that you never could be. Maybe you wanted to play sports and you never were very good in sports, so you try to make your son into a sports hero that you wanted to be, dreamed you could be, but never could be. Maybe you wanted to play a musical instrument and you never did that, but you try to live that out through your child by getting them to play a musical instrument. Now, I'm not saying any of these particular things are wrong, musical instruments or sports, but your child may not be gifted for that. You may be trying to force them into something that they're not gifted and talented to do, because parenthood really is your king. Things that make you happy, but doesn't necessarily fit them. Now, listen, singles, if being in a relationship is your king, do you think there's a lot of singles that being in a relationship is their king? I know there are. There's a lot of singles that all they think about is being in a relationship. And this is the most important thing in your life. Then you'll make unwise decisions when it comes to being in a relationship. Because the source of your wisdom will be from relationships, not from the true King. Even in marriage, John Newton, whom you probably know as a hymn writer, he wrote what song? Amazing Grace, amen? But he was also a great pastor in the 18th century Britain. And he was right when he said, and he regularly said this to newlyweds, this is what he said, you may think your biggest problem, spiritually speaking, this is John Newton speaking to newlyweds, is the prospect of a bad marriage. He says, every bit as big a spiritual danger is the prospect of a good marriage. Paraphrasing one of his letters he wrote to a young couple who had just been married, he said, permit me to say to both of you, with regard to marriage, beware of idolatry. I have smarted for it. You say, Brother Sam, what is he saying? He's saying the biggest problem practically in his life has been idolatry with regard to his wife and his marriage. He says there can be something so powerful about marriage, so fulfilling in marriage, that unless you deliberately stop it, this is what's going to happen. You will look to your spouse to give you things that only God can give you. And you will crush your spouse under that divine pressure that you put them in. You make them into your functional savior in your life. Listen, when you make parenthood the most important thing, your wisdom regarding parenting will be bad. When you make money the most important thing, your wisdom in regard to money will be bad. When you make a relationship or being in a relationship the most important thing, your wisdom in regard to relationships will be bad. When you set up your spouse as the most important thing in your life, you'll crush your spouse, as I said a while ago, under that divine pressure that only God can meet your needs with. So notice in the story what Solomon does. This is very interesting. There's two women standing in front of him. Instead of making a guess about which woman the living baby belongs to, he wisely seeks to find out what is their king. So when he takes out the sword to cut the baby in half, he has no intentions of cutting that baby in half, but he takes out the sword to cut that baby in half. Look at what happens in verse 26. Then spake the woman who the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other mother said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. The woman who is not the true mother shows that her motherhood is more important to her than the child. This mother shows that motherhood is her king. She is so unhappy with the idea that her rival would be a mother. She's so unhappy about that she's willing to see this child literally killed. She doesn't really care about the child. When she says, let him die, then neither one of us will have him. The foolishness of her heart is revealed, and it's very apparent that she is not the real mother. But notice the response of the real mother. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Now notice three things, really, about this mother. Three things about this mother that are amazing when she faces, this true mother, that when she faces a prospect of losing her child. One thing you notice is she doesn't panic. She's very, very poised. She doesn't scream out, no, no, don't kill my child. She says, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. So there's no panic. But notice also in this story, as we read it in the Word of God, there's no resentment. She doesn't show any bitterness. She doesn't show any unforgiveness toward this other woman who stands beside her, who's claiming the child is hers. There's no panic. There's no resentment. But notice also she's sacrificial. And this is so important to see. She's willing to give her parenthood away for the good of the child. Because she's willing to give the child away, she will get the child back. The Bible puts it this way, to save your life, you must, what church? You must lose it. Those who will be first will be what? Will be last. Here's what I'm trying to say. Some of you singles here would like to be married. But until you're willing to say, Lord, I give up the right to be married. You're more important to me than marriage is. If you don't want me to be married, then I don't want to be married. That's fine with me. You're placing a sword over marriage. Listen, until you say that, you're going to kill anybody you marry and probably destroy yourself too. You have to place a sword over your career. You have to place a sword over your money. You have to place a sword over your parenthood. You have to place a sword over your sexuality. You have to do what this true mother is doing. You must be willing to lose your life in order to save it. You might be thinking, wow, I wish I could be that poised. I wish I could make sure that I would be sacrificial when I'm facing a fork in the road and I'm in a very desperate situation and I'm not sure what to do. I wish I could be poised like she was. But let me say that tonight you can. You can be very poised. You don't have to panic. Because you know something that she didn't know. There's someone you can know that will melt your heart into greater poise than she ever have. Someone that you can know that will melt your heart into greater forgiveness, greater sacrifice, and greater self-control than even this woman knew. You can know someone who says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what this woman did? She looked at the throne. She looked at King Solomon and said, no, don't ruin his life. Ruin my life. Don't tear him in two. Tear my heart in two. I don't want him to lose his hope and joy, so I'm willing to lose my hope and my joy. Do you realize here tonight that there was a much greater one than her who stood before the eternal throne of God and looked at us and he saw the sword of judgment over every one of us here tonight and saw that we were deserving of hell because of our sin, eternal separation from God. He saw that we should be punished for our foolishness. And what did he say to the king? What did he say to his father? He says, no, don't ruin them. Ruin me. Don't tear them into pieces. Tear me into pieces. I'll give up all my joy and hope that they might have joy and hope, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and I. That's why the cross is, as Paul says, it's foolishness to the world, but it is the wisdom of God. Have you seen Jesus doing that for you tonight? Listen, you can lose every other king in your life. You can lose money. You can lose your job. You can lose every other king in life, but Jesus is the only king that you can't lose, because he'll never leave you and he'll never ever forsake you. Jesus is the only king who will forgive you. If you have him as your true king, you will be wise. In fact, the Bible says you will be utterly wise. Some of you may be here tonight and you have a yoke on. There's something that's has more meaning to you in your life than your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need to remove that yoke and yoke up with Jesus as your true king. Jesus has to be the meaning of your life. He has to be the focus of your life. He has to be the reason that you get up in the morning. He has to be the reason that you go through your day. He has to be the thing that you bring everything else into line with. Because, listen, you're bringing everything else into line with something. But Jesus needs to be that person that you're bringing everything in your life into line with. Until Jesus is your king, he won't be your wisdom. If Jesus is not the king of your life, then the wisdom that you have in life is foolishness. Wisdom comes from the king. That means we need to study the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of God. We need to saturate our hearts with the Word of God and put as much of the precepts and promises of the Word of God into our heart so that we can make wise decisions. Now, you may say, well, preacher, you just said a while ago, but I thought you said that wisdom also happens in places where the rules can't help. You say, I might have the rules, the precepts, and promises of the Word of God, but sometimes it seems like I'm facing situations where the rules, the precepts, and promises may not help me necessarily. But when you face those times, those roads, those forks in the road, because Jesus is your King, He is wise for you. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, where it says, Jesus is your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is your wisdom, which means you can relax, you can rest. We should saturate ourselves with the Word of God. We should make sure that we're not being controlled by false kings in our life, that there's no other king in our life but Jesus Christ. And then make the decision that we feel peacemaking. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and make that decision. Then you can relax. Why? Because Jesus Christ is going to be wise for you. We might say that God does not give us a watertight argument sometimes when he gives us wisdom, but he does give us a watertight person. He gives us Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what if I take the wrong road? What if I make a mistake then? Then he'll weave that into your life so that it brings you into the place where you need to be, that all things will work out together for good of those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. If you really understand the true king is your wisdom, then you can relax even when we face these forks in the road. Make Jesus your king, and when you face this fork in the road, you won't be paralyzed because you have Jesus as your king and you have true wisdom. Come to Jesus. Let Jesus be your king. Let Jesus be your Lord. I want you tonight to bow your heads. Heads bowed, eyes are closed tonight. I often say in marriage conferences when I start them, I will go over Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4 that I began to quote tonight as I started this message. Through wisdom is a house builded, and through understanding it's established, and through knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And in those verses, we see that wisdom, to have a house that God wants us to have, to build a marriage that God wants us to build, it requires the wisdom of God. And I often say that wisdom is the ability to view life or discern life from God's perspective. That's what we've been talking about here tonight. But the only way you can discern life or view life from God's perspective is to first have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To come to Jesus, then when you come to Jesus and you know that Christ is your Savior, once you become a new creation in Jesus Christ than to make sure that Jesus stays on the throne of your heart, that he remains the true king in your life, that you don't let any other king take his place. And when we do that, we can have the wisdom to build a house, a beautiful house. We can have the knowledge to establish that house, and we can have the understanding. These three beautiful ingredients, it says in Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, that we can fill our homes with all precious and pleasant riches. It starts with having the wisdom of God. So I ask you tonight, even as I get ready to pray tonight, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? That God has gloriously saved you from your sin? A time where that you have realized your depravity, your sinfulness, and your need of a Savior, and you've cried out to God, "Oh God, save me. Save me, God. I know I'm a sinner. I have no hope. I have no hope without Jesus Christ, and I trust in Him and Him alone for my salvation." Tonight, if you're not saved, I pray that would be your prayer, that you would cry out to God tonight as God is speaking to your heart tonight through the Holy Spirit. As you may be here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I've nailed that down. I know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ." Then tonight I'd ask you, is Jesus your King? Is He the King on the throne of your heart? Is He ruling and reigning in your heart, or have you let money come into your heart and rule and reign, and your wisdom is sourced by money, emanates from money? Or have you let sex come in and rule and reign in your heart? Have you let your job come in and rule and reign in your heart, your spouse, a relationship? Is Jesus the true King in your heart tonight? We don't have Him as a true King, we won't have true wisdom. Our wisdom will be foolishness. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, speak to our hearts tonight, even as you have brought this message to me to share with your people tonight. Lord, that we might truly have the wisdom of God in all the different forks in the road that we face, the decisions that we make, that Jesus Christ would be on the throne of our heart, that we could make truly wise decisions because Jesus will be our wisdom. God, you said in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And Father, tonight, I pray, God, there's many here tonight that need wisdom, that are facing many forks in the road, that need wisdom concerning which fork to take. And God, even tonight, as you have shown them through your word, Lord, they need to ask you for that wisdom. But first, Lord, they need to make sure that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning upon their heart. Do that work in every heart, every life here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name.